On this episode of Let's Get Frank, meet Mark Frank Pendergast. He's 48 years old and lives in London. Originally from Liverpool, he's lived in Dubai, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain. He's a teacher, producer, commentator, business owner. You can pretty much take your pick. He once went on a date with a woman who was hoping to meet a nice man to help her kick a cocaine habit. Another had written a book and spent the entire date telling him about it. And another who was looking for a man to convert to Islam before taking him seriously. Another was a Finnish woman who spent the entire date talking about saunas. We could go on and on. His list of dysfunctional dates is a long one. His hobbies include football, history, running, radio, and air crash investigations research. He's pretty well-rounded. And even though Frank is his middle name, just maybe he is the Frank that BB has been looking for. This is Let's Get Frank.
Annabelle, Miss Annabelle Knight, I've missed you, our resident sex relationship dating coach, who's also a best-selling author and TV presenter with a range of sex toys. How have you been? I'm almost scared to ask that question.
I'm a bit better. I mean, a chest infection I have found out in the last week is actually quite difficult to shift, but I've got antibiotics now, so I'm feeling a bit more human.
You are sounding V. You're sounding S to the E to the X to the Y. That spells sexy.
I know. Do you know what? I hate the hacking cough and all that comes with it, but I love the voice.
Silver lining, toot. Silver lining, which is basically
Romantic is this? It's like a dating podcast with a disgusting layer to it.
Well, that's my autobiography title sorted. Hey, I know you're feeling better and I don't want to bring you down because I know how crushed you are whenever it feels like I'm getting close to love because I know about how you, I know your feelings towards me. You can't hide them. But I do have another date. But before you give me advice about today's Frank, I suddenly thought the other day, I was having a shower and I was thinking about you. Do with that information.
Obviously.
What you will with that. And I've got a history of being love bombed. Can I ask you about love bombing? Tell me everything you know about love bombing.
So love bombing is it's actually quite commonplace and it comes in a variety of strengths, let's say. And it can be anything from kind of over texting someone, declaring very strong feelings very early on, all the way to incessant gift giving, declarations of admiration. And then it can go into a bit more of a dangerous area where you say things or you'll hear things like, I don't know what I would do without you. My life would be nothing without you. You make everything better. And it gives that partner, that other person, this crazy level of responsibility and almost debt to the person they're dating. And they do that. It's a manipulation tactic. And they do that to A, keep you sweet in the early days. And it gives them enough time to really embed themselves into your life. And you feel, you know, responsible for their emotions and their happiness. So you it changes the way you make decisions about that person. And it's not a healthy place to be in.
This is so interesting. I've got so much to ask you about this. Can it also be not just them kind of making you feel responsible emotionally towards them, but also the person who's receiving it? If that's what you want to hear, if that's the kind of stuff that you've been kind of yearning to hear, you're going to fall for it.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what the whole idea of love bombing hinges on, is that the person being love bombed actually responds positively to it in the first place. In those early instances, it feels great. It feels wonderful. And finally, I've got someone interested in me and they're open and honest. And it's that kind of disingenuous sentiment that's masquerading as honesty. And it's a really difficult thing to work out whether you're being love bombed or whether the person's being genuine. The best advice I could possibly give is just be cautious. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is. If that is the case, I would recommend just retreating a tiny bit, just withdrawing your kind of level of communication and your availability and seeing how that other person reacts. If they react poorly, you know that it was all kind of set up to make you feel a certain way. However, if they respond in a totally rational and calm and reasonable way, you know that their feelings are genuine and what they're saying is what they mean.
Is the love bomber necessarily knowing that they're being manipulative, or is this, could this be part of their, just their makeup too?
It's a little from column A and a little from column B. I think for the majority of people that love bomb, they do it from, I don't want to say a good place, but they do it from a place they think is necessary to get that person to stay with them. And that in itself isn't actually the healthiest way to secure or to maintain a relationship. And some people, you know, we've met them. We've all met someone who is a little bit full on, a little bit enthusiastic. I'm thinking of Parker from Friends, Alec Baldwin's character, who was super enthusiastic about everything.
Yes.
I'm sure there are real people out there exactly the same as him, but they're probably, you know, few and far between. For the most part, love bombing isn't healthy for the person doing the bombing, and it isn't healthy for the person receiving it.
I've got three things to say. So I'm love bombed a lot. So first of all, well, I'll tell you about the most recent one, which was just extraordinary. So this man listened to me on something I used to do on a radio show I used to have, and then found me on Twitter, and super funny, super bright, very attractive. And we got on really well. We had a mutual interest in something, which we kind of bonded over. And then we rang each other, and it was one of those fall in love phone calls. And it was like a 6 hour through the night one. Honestly, it was extraordinary. And at the end of the call, I mean, I feel like such a mug even saying it. At the end of the call, he said, "I've waited my whole life to meet you. I've waited my whole life for you." And I loved to hear that. And to cut a tedious story short, about a month later, he dumped me by text.
I mean, he sounds lovely. I mean, the thing I hear from that, or the information I kind of garner, is that he was in a vulnerable place himself. He wanted to find love, and he got on really well with you. And what we experience in those early stages, when you haven't kind of physically spent a lot of time with a person and you can't, you know, realistically feel lust, is an emotion called limerence. And it's kind of a little bit of both love and lust. So you get very enthusiastic about the person. You feel like you know them extraordinarily well. You want to spend all your time with them, and you honestly can't think of anyone or anything else other than that person. And what that does is kind of dilute the reality of the situation and makes you feel very, very, very enthusiastic is probably the best term I can use. And it's not entirely an accurate representation of how you feel. Lots of people in the limerence stage tend to rush into things. They might move in really quickly. They might say the I love yous really early, or they might say things like, "I have waited my entire life to meet someone like you."
I mean, what is it about me that the love bombers, how are they seeing it in me? it's because I tweet all the time about being single.
Do we want to pull at this thread? No, there isn't any one thing that a person does that can make someone love bomb them. I think that the positive reaction to love bombing encourages it. If you ever are in a situation going forward and you think, you know, I know what love bombing is now, I wonder whether this is it. Again, I would say just remove yourself ever so slightly, take a step back, so you can see how the other person reacts, but also so you can get a bit of perspective on the situation for yourself as well.
This is so interesting, because now I'm thinking about the whole situation with this bloke, and I do remember what you've said. I remember him being so full of declarations, and I was thinking, I like you, but I don't feel that yet, and actually had to tell him to calm down, to kind of cool off. And then, of course, that didn't work because, you know, like I say, 4 weeks later, the text. So I'm about to have a date. Is there anything?
I know, I'm so excited.
I don't think you are. Can you tell on a date if you're sitting opposite a love bomber? Is there anything you can tell? Like, would someone give that away straight away on a date?
Do you know what? I don't think so. I think it takes a few dates or a few days even to really figure out the love bomber's behavior, because it is about time, really. It's about how quickly they become infatuated, or they become obsessed, or they become in love with you. And really, realistically, on a first date, that's unlikely to happen. They may give some clues if they can't say anything, you know, kind of negative or realistic about your dating situation or about you, or they can't hear it. Quite often, a love bomber won't be able to hear the other person say anything that's self-deprecating. So you might say, Oh, I tend to rush into things. They will refuse to hear that because that's a negative about you. And instead they'll choose to hear a positive of, I actually fully commit really early on, and they'll see that as a green light.
I'm so scared. I just think with dating across the board, why can't you, Annabelle Knight, you're a very intelligent woman, why can't you just invent some kind of litmus test and I just get them to lick a bit of paper, and if they're right for me, it's green for go. Let me ask you about this date specifically. Well, first of all, and this is going to shock you, he's not called Frank.
What the beep?
What the beep? I believe it's his middle name, and I'm going with it.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I know, but am I going against fate's wishes?
Oh, are you going against fate's wishes? I think fate was a suggestion. I don't think it was hard and fast rules. I think it was a mere suggestion at the most, really.
Okay, so I'm not going to, okay, so I'm still going to do the date. It's from Liverpool. He lives in London and he's lived in Dubai and Bahrain. Now, of course, I'm thinking, right, he's going to fall in love with me. I'm going to fall in love with him, and then he's going to leave. Do people grow out of, grow out? That's a terrible thing to say. Do people stop wanting to travel, and does that wanderlust fade?
I cannot speak for Not Frank. His past record kind of suggests to me that he likes to travel, and I would be tempted to see that as a positive. You know, that's exciting. It shows, you know, a desire to see the world, to experience new things. I think they're all really positive traits in a person. And if you are worried about the idea that he may not be ready to settle down, I would perhaps, you know, bring that up in the date. One of my best dating tips is be open and honest early on in the dating process, so you can figure out whether the person sat opposite you wants the same things as you.
See, I can tell from your tone of voice, and it's a beautiful voice, I can tell
that I have
a chest
infection.
That A, you have a chest infection, and B, you're thinking, what the hell is she asking questions like that about? And I'll tell you why. There's no problem with Not Frank. He is right up my strasse. So he's 48, right kind of age, London's localish, works in radio, so we've got stuff in common. So of course, I can feel the self-sabotage bubbling up.
Your problem is that you like to have a problem. You just said the problem with Not Frank is there is no problem. So let's try and see this as a positive. So far, so good. There are no glaringly obvious personality traits. I mean, there's no real obstacles in your way. See this as the positive that it is and take that into your date.
I've got a little bit of a tickle in my throat. Is it okay to suck on a Strepsil during a first date?
Yeah, just make sure it's not a fisherman's friend.
Boom. That's where she gets the big money.
That wasn't a joke. They make me gag.
Remind me, what your general tips are for anyone about to go on a date trying to find love. Give me the pep talk, Toots.
Okay. My top tips for you today.
Yes.
I've already given you one, but I am going to reiterate.
Do it.
I want you to throw out the dating rules, in inverted commas, like, you know, waiting to respond to texts, or, you know, overanalyzing body language, or waiting to kiss until date five, or whatever the rules you have imposed. I want you to get rid of those. And I want you to just take every moment in that date as it comes. We're going to call this mindful dating. So overanalyzing anything, no tripping over, because I know you beat yourself up about things you say. Can we please remember the time you told the Frank about the size of your vagina? Can we remember that?
I don't think anyone's forgotten that.
No, it's
the
emblazoned
barman,
into my memory.
The other table.
So we're not going to beat ourselves up about anything we say. No. We're going to take each moment as it comes. Also,
okay. Yeah.
Be open and honest early on. This is the way that we weedle out the wheat from the chaff? Yes. This is the way we weedle out the wheat from the chaff, is by being honest early on. And that way we can find out whether or not the person sat across from us on our date is actually right for us.
Mark,
yeah,
you've already let us down. Shall I tell you why?
Go on.
Because you're not called Frank.
I am from a long line of Franks, actually. I'm just the missing step of Franks. My granddad was Frank. My father's middle name is Frank, and I've got a nephew who has Francis in his name as well. So you can, you know. You're a bit fussy, to be fair, asking for somebody called Frank, aren't you?
So is your middle name Frank, or you've got no Frank at all?
My middle name is Frank.
Good. Well done. Well done. Can I call you Mark Frank?
You can if you want, yeah.
So why have you agreed to do this?
I just thought it'd be fun. I heard the trailer, and it's a bit like when you go and watch sort of Star Wars' trailer and you go to the cinema, you're sort of imagining, I could be in this. I could be like that Han Solo of this podcast. So fingers crossed, I'm Frank Solo of this podcast. So having heard the trailer, I was intrigued.
Frank Solo's not encouraging really though, is it?
not really, no, not for a dating podcast, no.
So when you listened to the podcast, how did I come across? What did you think?
Desperate, I would say, is probably, But, I mean, the Princess Diana thing, you split up with your fella just after Princess Diana died. Was he like a big fan of Prince Philip or something? And you were well onto those conspiracy theories?
There's no connection. The police never found anything, so don't you try.
Well, I tell you what, if you're going to bump off a big celebrity or a major international figure, I always find the best way to do it is to get the chauffeur slightly tipsy and then chase after him on mopeds. Because, I mean, the Russians try and poison people and things like that. They've got it wrong. To me, what you should do is chase someone on a motorbike who's slightly tipsy, who's being driven by someone who's, you know, had one too many.
You strike me as someone that's been arrested 3 times.
Never been arrested in my life.
Oh, that's not true.
That is 100% true. No, never. Just because I'm from Liverpool, obviously you've gone for the stereotype, but I've never been arrested. I've never been spoken to by the police in my life, apart from, you know, maybe asking them the time, that type of thing.
It's less about you being from Liverpool and more about you giving me detailed instructions on how to kill someone high profile. That was more where I was gauging it from. But I apologise.
That's okay.
You don't look like someone who's been arrested.
They're obviously, you know, the very good instructions, because I've never spoken to the police.
Yeah, you did very, very well. Are you in London?
Yes, I am, yes. Just on the edge of London, the very edge of the world.
Oh, what do you mean? Wales?
No, by Heathrow. Hayes.
I miss London very, 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 very much.
Obviously never used to live in Hayes then.
How long have you been in London?
Since 2016.
And do you love it or hate it?
A bit of both, to be honest with you. I mean, it can be exciting, but it's, you know, painful at the same time. It's London, you know. I mean, as someone who lived in Liverpool for obviously the first part of my life, you thought Liverpool was the centre of the universe. You thought there was people in Liverpool now genuinely believe that Liverpool is the best city in the world. And I'm probably risking my life by saying I'm not quite sure it is. So I've been to New York and Dubai and various other places, and they do slightly edge Liverpool, but, you know, London is different, but it's all right. It's all right. Expensive.
So you're in a studio.
Yes.
Working.
Yes. Well, so I wouldn't call this work. This is pleasure.
Okay. Well, but you were there today.
Yes.
You were there today.
Yes.
So we have that in common. We have in common that we both love radio. I'm assuming you love it.
Oh yeah. There's nothing better.
What's the attraction?
Good question, that. I think, well, you can't see from it, but you get to press lots of buttons, which I like. I don't know, it's just you get into it. I've done since I was a kid. It's just a great medium. Just hard to describe. It's like, why do you like certain things in life? Why do you have a passion for them? You just do. You think about it a lot. It's not a waking thought, but it's not far off. And then, you know, the last thought before you go to bed, you know, you love something. So this radio for that is me. It's just a fantastic medium, intimate, you know, all the cliches that I'm sure you'll hear from various people who work in radio and the Radio Academy when they put out a press release, that type of thing.
It's true though, isn't it? I love it. I went to, I had a meeting the other day in a building that's got loads of radio stations in. I'm trying not to say anything. And oh my God, I was genuinely excited walking around. And I'm late-ish to radio, I guess. I always contributed, but never really presented on my own. And it's just that buzz. I love it so much. And I miss being in a studio, and I miss having guests come in a studio.
Well, I'm sat now. You would love it. Okay. I've got the playout system to my left here. It's a point, and I've got a desk here to my right where I can turn the mics on and off, and I've got an actual, as you can hear,
I know,
mic in front. Are you jealous of that? Do you like my muff?
I do. I like your muff. Well done. Well done. So if we fall in love, and it's probably going to happen, then
obviously,
are you just going to travel? Are you just going to go off? Are you going to leave me?
Well, you know, hopes of fair distance to begin with. So, you know, you've got that hurdle to overcome. Brighton's slightly nearer, which is a shame you don't live there. You know, who knows?
It's a 10-minute shame I don't live there.
Who knows? Maybe. Just depends what happens in life, you know. Whether, you know, well, Prince Philip's not here to chase me after what I've said about the old conspiracy thing. But, you know, there's MI6, MI5, other, you know, Prince Harry. I definitely won't go to Los Angeles if I do go, though, because obviously he's there. Yeah. I'll stay, even though he said he was living in Canada. I'll stay away for now. But yeah, who knows? Maybe abroad again. Maybe I'll be forced to after what I've just said. I don't know is the good answer to that. When I went abroad originally, I went for a year, stayed there for 13, 14 years. You know, when I came back to London, I said, oh, I'll do it for a year because I was at a radio station. I was working in a job where it just closed down like that at 5 o'clock one day. So we were all out of a job. So I thought, I'll come back for a little bit. And I've been back here for 6 years. So no plans, but if something came up, then maybe I would do it. I don't know. What about you? Would you move abroad?
I don't think I would. And I can't think why. There's no real reason why I wouldn't. No, I never have. It felt like a big enough... So I lived in Manchester for a year. I cannot believe. Right, write that down. Talk to Annabelle about that after.
Oh, that's far in an office.
I was watching your face as I said the M word.
Yeah.
So I never left London. Then I went, well, actually, that's not true. When I was a kid, my family moved to Sussex for a little while. And then I moved straight back to London.
It's all down
then
south.
I went to Manchester for a year in my 40s. Yeah. So, and it felt so, I really thought it was a beautiful city. But I did really miss.
You thought it was a beautiful city. You got the
it
ship,
is a beautiful city.
The ship canal. There's nothing like the sun glistening off those rusty tin cans.
I really liked it. And the thing I brought home, my take home from, and my ongoing take home from Manchester is I would call people love in a shop now.
That's it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then your take home to Manchester was obviously a lot bigger house you took it home to because you could afford a more expensive house in the north. This studio I'm in now, I actually live in it in London. This is it.
It's beautiful. I love what you've done with it. Yeah, it's LEDs really lovely. Right, let me tell you things I can't do. I can't swim. Mm-hmm. I can't drive. I can't cook. I can't speak any languages.
The English?
Barely. I can't do much. What's your best skill?
Have you ever seen the show Air Crash Investigations?
No.
I could probably guess what happens before the actual investigation is complete by watching the first part of the TV show. I can normally tell if it's pilot error or if it's mechanical error, quite quickly, just from watching that TV show. That's certainly a unique skill set, but I think it could prove useful if I'm on a plane and things start to go wrong. I could maybe advise the pilot or see if the pilot's, you know, making a mistake and point it out to him.
Oh my God, what a gift.
I know. I've never had to use it, but you know, I feel it's there in reserve.
Where are you going to go? Now things are lifted, maybe a bit, even though we're all still dying. Where are you going to go? I looked at my passport the other day, which is running out in 6 months' time. And since I've had that passport for various reasons, but mainly COVID, I've only been away about 2-3 times. I haven't used it. It's going, and I'm like, where am I going to go? Where are you going to go?
I'd like to go to Iceland, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. I also like to go.
Why Iceland?
Don't know. Just, it looks like it's... Probably because I've seen various tourist adverts. So I mean, I've been sucking into it that way. Before we get there, it's freezing, raining sideways. And, you know, there's not a lot to do because only 250,000 people live there. That's one place. I've been to quite a lot of places. So, you know, a lot of the places I wanted to go, I've already been to.
I think I've been to New York a couple of times, but I think I would quite like to go there again. Hey, you know where I'd go? And this sounds a bit... my granddad was from Bangladesh. When I was 21, my mum and I went there. I was too young. I was like a Londoner thinking, you know...
They have kids in Bangladesh.
This.
It's fine.
No, shut up. You know what I mean? I didn't appreciate it.
It's not an adults only. It's not like that resort in Jamaica, hedonism.
I would like to go there as an adult to see... To see where my granddad came from, whereas instead of being there as a kind of sulky 21-year-old thinking I was missing out by not being at home.
No, I think
that's a nice answer.
It is a good answer, yeah. And you better be quick because I think it's disappearing underwater, isn't it? So,
oh my God, stop freaking me out.
It's climate change. It's one of the worst affected countries by climate change, isn't it?
You're horrible.
Look on the bright side.
Oh my God, you're horrible. You're brilliant. Would you ever dump someone by text?
Yeah, I find it's a lot easier. Let's be honest about it. I think that was one of the bonuses of technology.
Oh my God. Would you?
Well, yeah, why not?
Mark Frank, that is outrageous.
I met my brother. He went out with a girl and she called him and said, I want to speak to you. He drove about 30 miles to see her and said, I don't want to see you anymore. And he goes, he could have just texted me. There's nothing like the extra pain of a 60-mile round trip on top of being dumped. You know, being dumped by text isn't that bad.
What do you love or hate dating? Not this date, but do you love or hate dating?
It all depends on the date, doesn't it? If you go into it with a bit of an open mind, I mean, I don't know because I can't speak for everybody, but I get the feeling people go in with too much expectation. So you think about it as just a night out. Yeah, it's not really a scary thing, is it? Or is it?
See, I find it terrifying. That's why there's a podcast called Let's Get Frank.
But listen, you've narrowed it down a lot, haven't you, Shane? He's got to be called Frank. I mean, it's not a popular name nowadays. So you're only going to get an older fella for a start.
I know.
Frank, as I said before, Frank Lampard, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, the relatives of Anne Frank. Do you count the second name as Frank?
We're spreading the Frank net. I can't lie.
I know. Imagine if one of Anne
Frank's... We've got a middle name.
What about your dates? Why have you not been on any dates? Why has it been a disaster since Diana died?
I don't like them. I don't enjoy them.
Why not?
I think they're nerve-wracking. Well, because I'm either going to be really bored, which is a terrible thing to say, or I don't like that feeling of being judged.
But that's life, isn't it, I suppose? You've got to be judged, don't you?
I guess, but it just feels very heightened and very, the minute you walk in and someone sees you, they're deciding whether they like you or not. And that makes me go a bit, ugh.
Yeah, but you're doing the same.
Yeah, I know.
And we all do it. Or when we go in a room full of people, we do it to everybody every 10 seconds when we look around. And you're subconsciously going, yeah, no, 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 yeah, no, no chance.
Do you think you're you on dates?
Yeah. Well, obviously. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
yes. Well, you try and don't, you know, let your darkest thoughts out straight away. But, you know, it's not like the, what was his name? 50 Shades of Grey. Would you like to see the red room? It's not like, that's not your opening line. But it's, you know, I think it's important to be just yourself because if you're not like yourself, then what's the point? You're not going to act for the rest of your days, are you?
I know. I just feel like it's easier said than done.
So what was your last date like?
It's not a natural environment, is it? I think it's easier to meet people. And because I've always worked on my own, really. So it's like I've never really had, what is it? So isn't it 75% of people meet through people through work? So, you know, this is, I'm dating Franks. So it's called Let's Get Frank. My friend Jack said, if I didn't meet a Frank, that I could start another podcast called Only Dan's.
Inspired by Alan Partridge. Dan.
It's too brilliant.
Dan, yeah.
I'm going to let you go now before one of us gets in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have been legally straddling a line.
Mm-hmm.
And you were giddy. You were excited. Were you excited about doing this?
Oh, yeah, of course, because, you know, I've never done a virtual date. It's a bit like a vegan burger in McDonald's. And it's like, what's the point? Let's go on a virtual date. Let's call a bloody Zoom call, isn't it? It's a chance. I could be 4'10" for all you know. I'm actually standing up as we speak. So, you know, you don't know these things. So if you go virtual dating, maybe in the metaverse it'll work, but it's not going to work in terms of, you know, just this. This might not be a real radio studio. It might be a Zoom background, green screen.
Oh, my God. But you know, some people have virtual dates and they will have, this freaks me out. They'll have the same, they agree what they're going to eat. They have the same ingredients and they both, like at your home, at my home, will cook spaghetti bolognese and then eat it in front of them, each other. It's like a date. They're eating.
I know. That's
how weird is that?
Strange. Very strange.
We don't like that.
Well, again, it's, you hear about these people, don't you, meet up online and stuff like that, and they fall in love, and then they actually meet, and it's a crushing disappointment. Because, you know, someone's walking with a bad limp or something like that.
Oh my God, you're brilliant. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'll see you soon.
See ya.
Bye. Oh my God, Annabelle. So how was that? How did I do?
You did so well. I was watching from the wings and I was smiling from ear to ear because both of you were smiling too. It was brilliant. There was laughter. It was candid. There was so much honesty. You know, it was really sweet and it was brilliant to watch.
I felt really nervous.
Do you know, I could tell a little bit to start with, but I thought you might, you know, once you saw him, I thought you might think, okay, he's good looking. He seems to have all his ducks in a row career-wise. He's, you know, funny. He's making me laugh. Oh my God, how am I going to self-sabotage? But you managed to push those voices away. You managed to override it. And you did a really successful date.
See, that's so weird because I've come away from it thinking I didn't.
That's your little voice of negativity in there. You know, I told you before, let's not cross-examine what we said or overanalyze. Let's just take it for what it was, which was a good date. Not Frank seemed to have a good time. And so did you. Even if nothing else happens, you had a great time.
The two classic moments, right? Telling someone from Liverpool how much I love Manchester.
Okay. I know. I saw that. I liked that though, because there were two kind of social dating faux pas and you got over them and he laughed about it. And so did you. And I thought, you know, that's, you know, tiny little differences now, they could bring you together later on.
But I really thought he was brilliant. I really, really loved chatting with him. And he did make me feel very nervous, actually. But I kind of think that's quite a good thing as well, actually, because it's like...
Yeah, I mean, I would rebrand nervous as positive anticipation instead and maybe give it a positive spin. We're going to just take a little journey into the negative side here.
You did, Annabelle.
At one point, I'm sorry, but I've got to say it. You did at one point, and it was a really long list, a list of your can'ts. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I wrote in capital letters, can't do, 3 exclamation marks, followed by a question mark. And then the words, come on, BB.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's best to manage expectations early on, but we should have peppered that with some kind of positivity.
But I can tap dance, which I can't.
Can you?
No.
Another lie.
Another lie, just another, it's just lies. That's hilarious. Okay, that makes sense. And what else? What else kind of slapped you around the beautiful face?
Oh, all the laughter. It was such a fun date. I know I wasn't on it, but I was kind of adjacent to it. It was such a fun date to witness. And I've actually written lots of laughter 3 times because you were laughing so much, and laughing releases endorphins and serotonin and oxytocin. So all of those feel good chemicals, which make you feel fantastic and confident. So as the laughter increased, I could see you literally becoming more confident and more comfortable in the date.
He was so self-assured and so kind of just, no, don't be nervous. It's just this, it's just that. Is that real when people do that?
I know. And I've said to you before, you know, don't put too much emphasis on this being a date in inverted commas. Just see it for what it is, which is two people getting to know each other. And if you have a good time, you have a good time. And not Frank literally said that to you on a date. He said this, you know, I try not to put too much pressure on myself or on the other person and manage expectations. And it's all about that. It's all about just having fun in the moment. And like I said before, mindful dating.
What do you think then? And I know you don't like this, and I know it's crass, and I know you and I, we're both better than this, but what's my overall grade? What's my percentage chance of not Frank, of Mark Frank's seeing me again?
I think it's pretty high. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I'd say we're on for an 80%er.
Oh, stop it.
I think it'd be a shame if you didn't meet up.
Would you? Would it break your heart if I fell in love with someone?
It would make my heart if you fell in love with someone.
Would you? Would you come to my wedding?
I mean, only if you want someone to stand up at the point where they say, does anyone know of any reason why these two should not get married? Then I would come.
I always wanted to do a cabaret act for a wedding, and just my songs would all be like, you know, D-I-V-O-R-C-E or... just can't even think of any other breakup songs, but you know what I mean. You get the gist.
So you want to go and ruin someone's wedding is what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, that's a very harsh way of describing what I've just said, but yes.
Yes, that is what I want.
Yes, I do. Oh, Annabelle Knight, thank you so much for your wisdom, your beauty, your sexy voice, for all of it. Well, that was my date with Mark Frank, not Frank, superhero Frank. Thank you so much to our brilliant dating coach, the fabulous Annabelle Knight, the sexy Annabelle Knight. A huge thank you to today's wonderful Mark Frank, and thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. Keep listening and join me next time in my very grown-up quest to find my Frank. See you then.
Yeah, I think I would go on another date with BB. I think... maybe, you know, a nice bottle of red wine. I think something special could happen. So, yeah, I would.